This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3956, from Monday, the 2nd of October, 2023. Today's show is entitled HPR Community News for September 2023. It is part of the series HPR Community News. It is hosted by HPR volunteers and is about 41 minutes long. It carries an explicit flag. The summary is, HPR volunteers talk about shows released and comments posted in September 2023.
Hi everybody, my name is Ken Fallon. You're listening to another episode of Hacker Public Radio, the longest running podcast without a Wikipedia entry.
That's a good point, actually. Yes, we need to solve that somehow.
No, we can't, because everybody associated with HPR is who submitted a show is not allowed.
Shame we can't get ChatGPT to do it on as a non-human contributor. But no, anyway, whatever, yes.
Exactly. Anyway, Hacker Public Radio is a community podcast where the shows are submitted by people very much, in fact, it should be you. And we are the janitors who put away our brushes. Mostly you've been doing the brushing all month, and I've been rushing past. And this is where we talk about the stuff that's been going on in or around the community. So you get the task. You are, by the way.
Oh, me? Who am I again? Oh, yeah, Dave Morris.
We're not that far yet, Dave. Soon, but not yet.
I do have trouble sometimes just getting the brain engaged, you know. The gears slip a bit.
So you traditionally welcome the new hosts, and we wait in silent anticipation to see if there were any.
Yes, we have two new hosts. Isn't that great?
Two, Dave? Excellent.
We do. We have Noodles, which I assume is the correct, that's what it looks like anyway, is the correct way to pronounce it. And we have Hobbs. So we will obviously be hearing from them soon as we go through the shows.
So speaking of going through the shows, that's kind of what we do. The first show to review for this month was episode 3935, which was Server Build Retrospective by Daniel Pearsons.
Yeah, he's doing a quite a cool thing of building a server, one new server. Obviously got one new rack to put it in, and there'd been a picture. I would have been, but then most people wouldn't care probably. But I quite enjoy that sort of stuff.
No, I like seeing pictures.
Yes,
I was given the option of getting some like old, you know, quite powerful servers from work that they were chucking out, but the noise and the power kind of issues were the ones that got me.
Yeah, exactly. I was offered Xeon processor things and some Sun kit, but exactly, my electricity bill would have been frightening.
Yeah, exactly. There were no comments on that as yet. So let's move on to the HPR Community News, which is this show. And again, there was no comments on that show. Nothing controversial, Dave.
Nothing controversial. No, obviously not. No.
No.
So, yeah, good.
We'll fix that this time. So the Adventures in Piehole, which was a Noodles show. And this was fantastic. This is a reason to have a Linux server on your network. And there was one comment from Windigo. Do you want to do that one?
Yep. Yes. Windigo says, clever static IP solution. I run a similar Piehole setup. I'd never thought of adding an IP lease for the Piehole itself. What a neat way to keep your addressing in one place.
Good idea.
I missed a bit. Thanks. I enjoyed your episode and look forward to your next contribution.
Yes, but I agree with Windigo, as I often do.
Yeah. It was that where he set up a sort of DHCP lease on his router just for that?
Yeah, he had a static. Did he have a? You know, can check the text.
Yeah.
Did he have a static IP address and then set up a permanent lease?
But so, I never quite understand whether that is a feature of DHCP where you just say, oi, DHCP, whenever you see this, make it that, or whether it's some other magic.
Yeah. So but the issue with that is you're dependent on your DHCP server to be up. So what that means is the server, if asked by the pie hole, I have this MAC address ABC and make sure I get IP address 123. But as there's a static address configured on the pie hole, it's never going to send that request. But the DHCP server is never going to issue that address because it's reserved. So,
okay.
You're using static IP addresses, but you're keeping your DHCP by adding a reservation. You're making it's more an administration thing than anything else.
Yeah, I've never done it quite like that. So, yeah, I didn't fully understand how it was done. But different routers have different methods, I guess, as well. So.
Yeah. But normally, there's a way to. Normally, what I do or I've done in the past is assign a block. So from, I don't know, 1 to 100 is not issued by the DHCP servers. And then outside of that, the range. But this is another way of doing it, which is actually quite cool as well.
Yeah. Just delegating everything to the pie hole sounded like a really good thing to be able to do. And he also, I think, said he's got it in a container and he's got backup so he can switch to a backup container should anything go seriously wrong. I think that's what he said.
Yeah.
So that sounded really, really good. There's some lessons to learn from that, I think.
Cool. The following day, we had another thing that I hadn't heard of, which was the Open Directory of Web Audio, where DNT was looking for an open directory of audio streams and found radio-browser.info.
I completely forgot to go and look at it in any detail, I have to say. I think I found that one before. My son and his girlfriend came back from Greece last year or something, and they were saying, oh, it's good, we were listening to Greek radio, blah, blah, blah. And I think we just sort of went poking around on the internet to see if we could find any Greek music. And we found that. And we were having dinner, which wasn't Greek. We were listening to stuff on that. I think it was the same one. Fantastic idea. Really, really interesting.
The GOIP is, if you go to the GOIP, you can select on a region, and there's loads in Antarctica. I don't know how accurate they are.
Yeah. It is a map with pop-up thingies on it that you can zoom in and click, the one I use anyway. And, we were quite fascinated with that. So, yeah, very good.
Okay, DNT had a comment on his own show saying, since the recording, it's an update. Since the recording, the developer of Open Radio has released an update fixing the issue with Android Audio. So now that is the app to use for me. Perfect.
Android Auto, it was.
Auto,
I think,
yes.
Was that not the car-based interface or something? Yeah.
Weird. Sure. I don't use that sort of stuff in the car. Well, I don't. The car's for my wife for driving to work, and we happened to be in it today, and she happened to turn on her iPhone, and it asked about activating Apple's stuff, and then when we hit cancel, the whole thing rebooted.
I weren't expecting anyone to ever say no. I have an audio thing in my car. I have used it to interface to my Android phone in the past. When I used to drive, this car's old now, it's 10 years old. When I used to drive up and more, actually, I used to drive up and down to St. Andrews where my daughter was at university, then I would put podcasts on through the car audio, and that was quite good. But I haven't used it for a good, I don't know, 5 years or something. So still,
yep.
Good if you can. Good if you have it and you need it, and there you have it. Good, good.
The next day we had how to get into tech and hacking. Getting interested in tech can start in both odd and familiar places, and this is Trickster's story.
Yeah, this was great, actually. This was really good. Trickster was the name I didn't know. He's been around since 2011, according to my little bit of research, and this is his second show, so fantastic. Thank you very much.
Co-founder of mobilegames.com.
Yeah, there's tons of really interesting subjects that one could jump off into from what he talked about in this show. So yeah, like to hear more.
As would I. Following day, we had equipment maintenance. This is Ahuka's travel series, and link to his blog there about equipment maintenance of the RV, etc. Basically, you're towing a home around. Do you want to read Rito's comment?
Yeah. Rito says, tires. Hi, Ahuka. It's a really good thing that you maintain a diary. But on the other hand, I got the impression that some hard feelings came up on revisiting that time. Smiley face. Here in Switzerland, the complete valve is replaced when the tire is replaced. Just as a side note. As always, I enjoyed your show. And he signs off.
Kevin says, telling it like it is, my objective is to be, has been to simply tell the things that happened, including the things that were mistakes. That means warts and all. That way it might be of use to others. Yeah, and I appreciate that when people do that, actually.
Yeah. It's good to know. I mean, it's reality, isn't it? And it's always good to get that rather than a reduced version.
However, enjoy it. I've also found out that YouTubers use it as a way to engage with their audience by deliberately putting in mistakes.
Yeah.
It makes them feel more real and trusted. They just go, oh my God, is there nothing that isn't used by people to profit? Anyway.
Yeah.
Following day, we had an interview with Josef Kernzinder. Apologies there for that. And this show was out, where the Met doing penetration tests, etc., using for KFMG.
Yeah. It was an insight into a world that I know very, very little about, other than listening to operator talking about it from time to time.
Yeah.
So it was fascinating, really fascinating, nearly an hour long, but a very, very good and interesting hour, I found.
And I'll do Rito's comment. Honestly, hi both. This is a very good show, and Josef answers how he reflected openly his shortcomings. But then again, being aware of it is the key to change. One thing I disagree, CO2. This is making the Earth nothing more but more green, which is brilliant. Citation needed. There is 0.038% CO2 in the air. Not even 1%. CO2 is one of the heaviest gases, therefore it's on the ground. A greenhouse carries the glass roof to keep the heat. Just a side note to think about. And surely, does the climate change? Why not? I will listen to it again. It was overall interesting. Okay, how to make friends. Some guy on the internet replies to Klaatu's show about how to make friends. This has spawned several shows, which was excellent.
Yeah, Scotty has some interesting views on all manner of subjects, so it's always really good to listen to his viewpoint. So yeah, it was good. There's more. I think he's going to do another one next month, if I'm not wrong. So yeah, well worth listening to.
And again, next show, Why My Dell Does It Better Than Linux. Nightwise talks about his Dell XPS 15 with Linux. And that's good to hear. No comments on that show. And the next show was Race for the Galaxy. Tallulah explains very basics of the car game called Race for the Galaxy. I thought she explained this very well, but I appear to be the only one in this house who doesn't like playing games.
I know. I tend to leave myself notes saying, I'm sure those that enjoy this sort of thing finds this amazing, but I'm not one, sadly.
I just pass them on to the people and then, oh, you might try Race for the Galaxy. So,
yes, good to know.
Following day, Daniel appears once again with summarize essential Chrome plugins that he uses every day. And this I thought was quite interesting. It's interesting to hear what people use.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yes, yes. I thought a lot of people had moved away from Chrome, but I imagine that.
I think our bubble on Mastodon is quite small, Dave. I'm probably full of CO2. Nah, Rico, we're only messing with you, dude.
It's I don't know. I don't know. It's I have moved away from Chrome, but I'm not sure moving to Firefox has benefited me enormously. So, but anyway, but yeah,
well,
it was an interesting
issue with Chrome is a lot of it's like back in the Internet Explorer days. Some websites won't even work now. Will only work in Chrome. That's where we are, Dave.
Yep, I find that Firefox just completely fails to give me access to various things.
Not necessarily Firefox's fault, but yeah.
No. But I use that as my main browser, and then I switch to Vivaldi, and often that lets me do stuff. But I don't know if that's as better or worse than Chrome. I don't know. It works though sometimes.
So the next day we had the part deux of planning for a planner, where some guy on the internet and Bumblebee were talking, continued to talk about disc-bound planners, agendas, pens, and more. And Rito had a comment. Can you do this one?
Yes, sure. Yep, Rito says, previously, hi Scotty, previously on HBR, I love the intro, the voice just a touch lower and I would have thought I was watching a USC TV show. Series. Mm-hmm. Brilliant. Some things make a difference.
Very good.
See, I'm having a problem with reading today as well. Brilliant, comma, small things make a difference. So, yeah, that key, excellent. That word was what made the difference.
So, the next day we had Archiving Floppy Disks, a show about archiving old floppy disks by Steve Sainer. And if there was not a more appropriate time, a lot of people are saying that the lifespan of magnetic media is limited, and therefore if you have floppy disks in this region of time, it's a good idea to get them archived. And mm-hmm. Steve is there with an explanation of how and why you might do that.
Yeah, it was
two approaches, actually.
It
was very good.
Yeah, I certainly found it quite interesting. Probably done some of this at some stage, but not for a long time. But it was great to have to revisit the techniques and methods and think about some of these things. Was he talking about 5 1/4 inch discs at
yeah,
the start?
At one point, yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
So clean up my man cave. Talking about creativity. Yes, this was Nightwise, and Kevin says, at where he was cleaning up his stuff and going past, Nightwise was setting up his podcast rig in a messy attic and talking about the stuff that he found up there, one of which saw two cows come up. Kevin O'Brien says, I do remember two cows, and as it happens, they're still around, but they changed the business from being a software repository to being an internet services company. I use their Hover subsidiary as my domain name registrar.
Cool.
It's funny, two cows were like the Google of their time.
Yeah. I didn't really get involved much. I'm not sure what era was that. I can't remember.
90s, I think, yeah.
Yeah, probably working in a university and not having internet at home. It wasn't the thing that really impinged on me much. Although I obviously knew the name, but didn't ever use it. But, we used to use for browsing and for searching. We used AltaVista a lot of the time in those days, I think it was. So, yeah. But anyway, interesting, good stuff.
Yeah, it was around that time. And Nightwise proving that the guideline to posting shows 10 days apart is only a guideline. Because we have a show from him on how he uses virtualization to tame his social media addiction by using command line applications in the console. Well, that's kind of a good idea, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Certainly done that to some extent, haven't you? I mean,
yeah.
IRS and stuff like that. I've used both GUI and command line stuff, and really preferred the command line thing.
Yep.
For quite a lot. But I didn't know about half of these things that he mentions here. The apps. Quite
yeah,
cool.
I don't subscribe to some of the applications anyway, and you know, Discord, I have an account, but it's dormant.
Mm-hmm. Same here, really. Yeah, yeah.
Not many comments this month, is there?
No, we're quite thin on the ground this time for some reason. Yeah.
All right. Next day, we had a hookah with one of the best overlooked games, Sid Meier's Alpha Centauri. And again, I passed this one on. Lots of videos and stuff going into the various different aspects of the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's made me, this series of his made me, incidentally, it should be in a series, shouldn't it, this particular show? Rather than, because haven't all the other ones been in some gaming thingy? I'll check it after anyway. But
Roger,
yeah,
Roger.
It made me more alert, you know, browsing through YouTube and stuff to people talking about Civilization and, you know, Civ and related things. So yeah, it's not, again, not a thing I'm likely to ever play, but interesting to know about.
Yeah, we're hip with all the new games that are coming up there, Dave. No.
Yeah.
An operator had what some people might think was a very silly show called Cell Phone Screen Protectors, and how he fails to put them on. However, this was full of interesting information for me, because I happen to have one of my children who goes through telephones like other people might go through underwear, Dave.
Oops, that doesn't sound good.
Yeah. And screen protectors, putting them on, has been has helped a smidgen. So, this show.
Yeah. Do you know, I've never done one. I've never put one on myself or on my phone. But the fact that he was in a constant battle with dust made me both laugh and go, oh God, if I was so, I really felt for him, the fight he was having there. But,
yeah.
My kids do it for me, would you believe? Because they're more adept at doing that type of manipulation than I am these days.
I'm looking forward to that day, Dave. Making the case for Markdown, Keith Murray was discussing the background of applications of Markdown, a show which I thoroughly enjoyed because at the time I was sorting nuts and screws and nails into little cubbyholes in the shed. And there is nothing as satisfying. You know that scene in Emily where he's as happiest when he's cleaning out his toolbox, hoovering it and putting everything back in?
That is
my little happy moment just there.
Yeah, yeah. It's just the sort of thing you want to be listening to, I guess, under those circumstances.
Yeah. But a good good history and a good tip on various different markdowns and a good links there for various different syntaxes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A nice all round show.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it was very welcome. I thought I also found it quite fascinating. It's been a strange journey from the early days of Markdown to now, because it's everywhere in various forms. Things have changed a fair bit in terms of, you know, the dialects and also how you can use it and incorporate it in things. So it's a fascinating subject, I think.
Yeah. And the following day, we had large language models, AI, don't have any common sense, learn how to run GPT-2, Lima 2 to test some common sense questions, hosted by Hobbs and Greg. Although, Greg, I think we only heard for the last 5 minutes, loved this show. Felt I was a little bit in the deep end, would have loved a bit more explanation. We need about 10 more shows on, you know, the basics of the large language model and this is where it comes from, and you know,
yeah.
not all of us are, you know, when you're into it as deep as this, but it'd be cool to have like the basics of AI for us. What do you think there, Dave?
Yeah, I think you're right. It's an interesting thing. It's amazing how vast quantities of data can be crunched down into a form that can be brought back again in a sort of statistical process, which is about all I know about it. Though I've said several times before, my son's doing work in this area, and his boss says these LLMs are all very well, but they're like, what did he say? Stochastic parrots. So they're things that sort of gather lots and lots of information like parrots do, and then suddenly spit it out in some sort of possibly sensible, but it may be sensible because of the context or your interpretation of the context or whatever. So I think what's being, I agree totally that an understanding of the fundamentals of it is really, really important. And also, what can you actually tune these things? Because it's an engine, basically, which has got a huge amount of data in some data store and then can process it to produce useful stuff out of the sort of searches through it or a walk through it. Can you actually use it for something other than what it's currently being used for at the edges, you know, the mm-hmm, the middle mm-hmm. bit where it says write me a Python program to do X, Y, Z, often you get something quite useful. But if you ask it how many legs to four cows have, then which I thought was a wonderful question.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Then you can be completely lost because it's not using, there's no data in the corpus that leads to anything useful, I guess. But if you build your own or enhance the corpus of information, can you make it to be useful? Now that's the bit that fascinated me.
Yeah. And ironically enough, our show transcript is done by the OpenAPI group. The Whisper program is from them. So, mm-hmm. you know, you dump random text at it and out comes English, random audio, and mm-hmm. out comes English text. It is.
That's pretty impressive. Yeah. It's so.
Anyway, more shows, but assume we know nothing. We know nothing. You're explaining it to
two
7-year-olds who have no clue.
Yeah. I would rather not be the dimwit that I am in regard to this at the moment. So somebody to sort of lead me into it a little bit better would be good.
Yeah, there's more shows there. There is more shows there is what we're trying to say.
Indeed.
Okay. The following day, Mr. X and yourself had a chat again. I always have, I just have visions of you two sitting in the car in some park, you know, and worried mothers going past, rushing their kids past the front of the car going, don't look at them.
I think it's people having had interesting, often liquid lunches on a Sunday, sort of stumbling back to their vehicles, hopefully with a designated driver. And it was incredibly busy on that road. It's a sort of main road out of Edinburgh that takes you quite a nice scenic route. And there were some big motorbikes were going up and down.
Yeah, for some reason. Someday we'll do that, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, it's a format that we quite like because we get lunch and then a chat. So what could be better?
Yeah, exactly. You just record it and post it.
I did, yeah.
Fantastic. Love the bit about the Dutch thing, but as I keep pointing out, we're good at infrastructure as well. It's just the bikes and the trains are part of it, but they also build a phenomenal amount of motorways and roads and stuff. Yes, far too much stuff.
Yes, yes. I mean, there was one video I remember watching where they were pointing out that, I can't remember where it was, was it Utrecht? I can't remember, where what was a multi-lane motorway thing going through the city has been turned into a canal, back into a canal and stuff. So, you know, there's some good common sense there somewhere. Just, you know, it's obviously fighting with the car people a lot. But, hopefully.
Yeah, Utrecht was particularly bad. They had a lot of bomb damage from the Second World War, particularly, you know, that's the center of the around the railway there, and a lot of the apartments or a lot of the old buildings were, you know, very poor repair, and then the car thing came in and we're gonna modernize. It's still a city.
Yeah. It was easy to get carried away by all of that stuff at certain points in time. I certainly found, as somebody who lived in Manchester for about 5 years, that the fact that the motorways sort of disgorged close to the city was quite advantageous. If you were driving in from outside the city, it was great. But then you suddenly realise, but what does it make this city? It's just a sort of motorway with shops type of thing.
Yeah.
It's Glasgow's like that too, but Glasgow the motorway is underneath. So there's walkways and roadways across the top of it, and the city's like that. But it's still, when you stop and look, it's repulsive. But anyway, that's, maybe things will change in time.
Yeah, we will see. We will see. Baby steps.
Yep.
Okay, on the 29th, which is today as we're recording this, Daniel Pearson's had air gradient measurement station, which is something I need to build. Listening to it. Sounds like a doable project, actually.
Yeah, there's a number of people who I've seen on YouTube with ready-built ones and stuff. I've often looked at them and thought that would be quite cool. One actually measuring does his do CO2? I can't remember. Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Yeah, and humidity. So it's it would be quite a fun thing to have. I wish there was a bit more information actually.
Like, yeah,
where
exactly.
To buy one, and
what cool.
They look like, and
yeah, exactly. As I've just bought a book on making a software-defined radio, and virtually every page has, this is not a project for beginners. This is a very advanced project. Please, practice with kits and stuff. So, okay, maybe I need to build some kits and stuff before I move on.
Yeah. No, that's fair enough.
And that was it for the shows for the month.
Indeed.
So do we have any past comments, Dave?
We have one. It's not much in the notes for this particular show. We have a comment from Kevin O'Brien to show 3934 from Tula, who's talking about Crusader Kings 2. And Hooker says, I was really happy to listen to this show. This is a kind of game I need to explore more. So, good stuff.
Super. And mail list, not a lot on it. Events, not a lot. Want to talk about FOSDEM. So that's going to take place on Saturday the 3rd and Sunday the 4th of February in Belgium. And it'll be at the usual ULB. And you're not going, Dave. And I am not going this time. But if people were wanting to go representing HPR, feel free to reach out to us. There's also, I have been asked if we want to do the speaker interviews. So if people once would be interested in helping me out doing that, that will be good. Be a way for HBR to keep our foot in. So if you're interested in basically it'd be involve emailing the keynote speakers a list of questions, getting those back, sending them on to the team, possibly recording an interview and posting it, that sort of thing. If you're willing to help out with that, that would be great. Right now, I didn't think I would be able to do that. I might have time to do that because there's a big event, personal thing that's won't be happening now until the beginning of the year next year. So that.
Cool.
Do you want to talk about the site migration then?
Yeah, there's not a huge lot to say, actually. I just thought I'd keep the subject going because there are still things to do. We're sort of chugging away doing them. So we've been working on fixing broken links in some of the static site templates have needed some changes.
I think that's done more or less.
I think so, yeah. It was this month, though, wasn't it? Yeah, pretty certain it was. And but there's database stuff that needs changes as well. Made a start, but there's still a fair bit to do. So there will be cases where if you go to a show that says to read more, click here, and it will not
take you to where it should be, yes.
It doesn't take you anywhere, in fact, does it? They just fail. Yeah. So one of the things we've just done is to add the link to the Internet Archive version of the show to every show so that if you find that happens, you could look at that and you know where it is by virtue of that link in the on the show page itself. So, but we will.
And the files are all up there, so.
Yes. Oh, yes. Well, I think, well, unless you find out otherwise, the goal when we did it was to make sure everything was available on the Internet Archive. So you should find everything is properly linked there and is available there for download or whatever else you want to do with it. So that's a sort of stopgap. I think we'll leave it up because I think it might be useful.
Yeah, it's not hard.
So we'll leave that link on the page is what I mean. But for the moment, where we still have the job to go through and change all of the broken links. There's not a vast number of them, but there's enough to be annoying. So that's top priority.
Yeah, there's lots that link about don't know how many apps that have got full show notes. So we've got the full show notes, but within the HTML, there's an awful lot of links, 40,000 or something, that we all need to check. And if we don't find them, then we want to replace the link with the Internet Archive Wayback Machine version that was as valid around about that time. So it's non-trivial. Your solution of putting the link to the Internet Archive is good, but is good. Full stop. New paragraph. However, it'll defeat the purpose if we are relying totally on the Internet Archive. The whole thing is to be replicatable. And this is just one of these shaving a yak things that I was trying to locate the files that we were missing. And then that led me to, I didn't have enough disk space to find it on the HBR disk. And then I had to free up disk space, which involved identifying that one of the disks on my NAS had gone down and needed to be remirred. So I was doing that. So in the background right now, I am syncing the HBR show files over to work on it. So work is continuing, but it's slow.
Yeah.
Excuses, Dave. That's basically what I'm doing.
It's partly because what we're having to do is to look through the notes of all of the shows as HTML. I mean, we've done some of the fixes by simply doing textual scans using regular expressions and stuff, and that's worked pretty well as a strategy. But once you get into needing to tweak URLs, you need to know which ones are active, because if somebody's gone in there and commented out a URL like URI, because we could, the link was broken and we put the Internet Archive in its place. And if we do it based on just text, we're going to go and change the comment if we're not careful. So all of that sort of stuff, it needs something with enough intelligence to understand the HTML and change only the relevant bits. So that's the thing I'm currently working on. I do have done this sort of stuff before. It's how the stuff gets shunted off the HPR database into Internet Archive. So hopefully I can just port some of the code from that to this. But it's not going to be quick, but it will slow and steady. Hopefully we'll get there.
And just as a by the by, we're running low on shows. So I will be posting this show and I'll be posting some shows from the reserve queue to fill up next week. So if you have shows ready to rock, can you please send them in? Thank you.
Yep.
Good. Okay. Anything else, Dave?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Tune in tomorrow for another exciting episode of Hacker
Public
Radio.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.